That's a great song. Started with Jesus. Heaven on my mind. And I'm not turning around. I am so delighted that the Lord has blessed me to be a part of this worship service. Glad to see those of you who are visiting with us. We trust that you will make this a regular place to come from this day forward. And I believe that you'll be so glad that you did, as we endeavor to teach and preach the gospel just like it's written in God's holy book, the Bible. Turn in your Bibles and to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, I believe the chapter is 11. The chapter is 11. The message that God wanted to send to the world, He designed it. He designed it. The question is, number one, do we study His word? And number two, do we believe His word? Now, we're going to be reading in this chapter of Hebrews 11. Notice how the author starts in the very first verse. He says, faith. Now, faith is the assurance of the substance of things hoped for. Do you hope to make heaven your home? Do you hope to live a life that pleases God? Faith is the reality of things hoped for. Faith is the proof, the evidence of those things that we don't see. But we see them by faith. Faith is the assurance. By faith, the elders, seniors, obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Is that in your Bible? That's verse 3. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. So if you're wondering how the world came into existence, if you didn't know before, you now know. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm headed to verse 6. And later on beyond. By faith, Abel offered unto God, that's Adam's son, a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, which he obtained by which, his action, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God honored his gift. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. I think most of you know about Enoch. That he should not see death and was not found So it infers that folk went looking for him, grown man, but was not found. Why? Because God translated him. And he never tasted death. For before the translation, he had this testimony. He had this reputation. Is that in your Bible? That he pleased God. He pleased God. All of this chapter of Hebrews talks about people who please God. And from the human perspective, at a great price, even death. Now notice verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God, and what's that next word? He that cometh to God, M-U-S-T, not an option, must believe that God is, that he exists, and must believe that the existing God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Now, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without trusting him, it's impossible to please God. Why? Why is it so impossible to please God? By faith, by believing in him. That concerned me. And then when I continued to read, I garnered an idea. I got an understanding as to why it is so challenging for human beings to trust God. But at the same time, since he had shown so much, why should it be so challenging? We know that man can't create a universe. We know that man can't go up on a ladder and put some stars up yonder. We know that man can't have a light over here that burns all the time and a light over here that burns all the time and nobody goes up to check it out and refuel it and fix it. Why is it necessary to have faith in God to please God? Well, one of the reasons is because he said so. But faith alone is not enough. We see that in this text. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith is not recognized if there's nothing done. I believe God. Well, what are you doing to please him? Nothing. You believe in God? What are you doing to please him? How do you display your faith in God? How does he want us to manifest our faith in him? God devotes an entire chapter, and not just this single one, but I'm dealing with this one, giving us examples of faith. And the only way that we're going to please God and have the faith that pleases God, that's the only way we can please Him, is that we must do the same thing that these people did. Faith without works, without appropriate action that He calls for, is dead, unacceptable to God. That's why this verse 6 says one cannot please God if you don't trust Him. Without faith, it is impossible to do what pleases Him. Listen to the examples. Listen to the examples. Noah. What did Noah do? When you go back to Genesis, I believe about chapter 6, the Bible talks about how wicked humanity had become. So wicked that God made a decision. There was one righteous man. You remember his name? Just told you. Noah. Noah built an ark. To have faith in God, you must do some things. And they must please God. Build an ark. He was married, had 3 sons. And they were married. Noah, he told him what to build, and he told him how to build it. Now think for a moment. Think for a moment. Would Jesus build a church and didn't tell us how to build it? You're talking about building an ark. We're talking about building a church. And how to live in it. Noah had instructions for building the ark. Who should he bring into the ark? But he preached for over 100 and so many years? About 120 some years. And you know how many people he converted? 0. Because the family was already in favor with God. So don't be surprised when you, as sons and daughters of God, share the good news of God with friends and relatives, co-workers, and they don't have the time to be bothered with it. They never bother to do an investigation and never become sons and daughters of God. But that was my curiosity. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is something that must be shown. I got faith. Well, what do you do? Oh, nothing. Well, how do you prove you have faith? Faith without doing something is vain. Doesn't exist. It's dead. This epistle was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was in a Roman jail, awaiting martyrdom, awaiting to be crucified. Breaking it down to the little children, waiting to be put to death. About in the year of 64, AD 64, they had a crazy man in rule of Rome by the name of Nero. He was a Roman emperor. That man burned half of Rome and blamed the Christians for it. He did it because he burned it because he said, I want to build a grander Rome. But the blame he put on the Christians. In order to divert suspicion from himself, Not only did he do that, but there was something wrong upstairs in his head. Because he didn't stop just accusing them. He had Christians burned to death at his residence. Huge ground area around his place of residence. He had them tarred, feathered, and burned at night as he rode through the garden naked, dancing with glee, the burnings of Christians. Does that take us back to verse 6? Without faith, it's impossible to live a life pleasing to God. Multitudes of Christians were arrested and put to death in the most cruel of ways. Crucified, tied to skins of animals, and worried to death, entertaining Roman citizens. Some of them were thrown to wild beasts. In the wake of this persecution, Paul was rearrested in Greece of Asia Minor. He was brought back to Rome. This time, by the agents of the Roman Empire. He was brought back not as someone that was deviating from their particular religious believings, but he was brought back to Rome on this occasion as a criminal. First time he was put in jail in Rome, it was just a matter of violation of some Jewish religious laws. But this time, he was brought back as a criminal. His trial had proceeded long enough and far enough that Paul knew that there was very, very little hope of him getting out of prison alive. While waiting in this Roman judgment for the time of his departure, he wrote this book called Hebrews. This is Paul's last letter to Timothy, encouraging him and also asking him at the same time, if you can, come visit me before the winter. In that dark hour is one of the noblest passages of Scripture. Being executed for a crime he did not commit, the cause for which he had given his life was being blotted out. The cause for which he was giving his life was being blotted out, so history says, in the West and in the East by persecutions of Christians. Yet, there was no hint of regret in anything that Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. I've done my Father's will. We cannot control what other people do. We can't even control what other brothers or sisters might do. But who we can control is ourselves. He writes a letter to Timothy. And when he writes this letter to this young gospel preacher, he had a very good idea. Sound conclusion. That very soon, he would not be on planet Earth anymore. But that didn't worry Paul. That did not worry Paul. Why? Because Paul knew that the moment they took him to the guillotine and let down the sledge, you get it? He would go straight to the arms of whom he loved and served so devotedly. He knew the result of leaving the physical body. When we walk with the Lord, it's not a tragedy to leave this body. It's a release and go to be with the one whom we love. You remember Jesus dying on the cross? You remember his last words on that cross to that other fellow that was dying with him on his left? He says, today you will be with me where? In a much better place than where I am now. Church! Brothers and sisters, as we embark upon this new year, please take the time to read and study your Bible and become better acquainted with who you are and become better acquainted with whose you are that makes you who you are. Once we understand and once we really walk with the Lord, there's nothing on planet Earth that can tie you down because you're walking with the Lord. And to be absent from the body is to what? Is to be present with the Lord. Paul knew that he was about to be a dying conqueror. That battle-scarred old warrior of the cross was looking back over a long, hard, and bitter fight. But he was able to cry out if he had chosen with exultation, "Fight God Almighty, I'm making it home." That's what you want to be able to say, church, at every age, at every stage of your life. I'm walking with the Lord, and every day is a good day. Not long after the executioner had released Paul's soul from his body, broken body. If the Lord followed the same method that he carried out with the beggar, he dispatched a caravan of angels to take him to paradise. Let me put this addendum in there, and you can think about it. When Paul was taken from the cross, no, he didn't go on the cross, he went to the guillotine. Paul saw left his body. It occurred to me, what wonder, I can wonder, can't I? I can imagine. Can you imagine what Paul did when he first got to paradise. Now, I didn't say this is book, chapter, and verse, this part. I said, but what do you think Paul might have done when he got to paradise? After the pleasure and the honor of perhaps of spending time with the Lord, Paul may went on a search looking for somebody. Who do you think it might have been if that's what he did? He might have gone looking for Stephen. You wonder why? I'll leave that right there. But it's impossible to please God without faith. That's what this is all about. And the why it's impossible to please God. In our Bibles, in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know, what do you know, Paul? Whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day that I'm called out of this world. Church. Are you that confident? Are you that confident? Are you prepared to meet your God? This place called Earth is not a place where we're going to live forever. Did you hear how I made the statement? The Earth is not a place where we're going to live forever. But we are going to live forever. But not here. Have you made any reservations? Have you made any plans for your departure here? We can't stay here all of our lives. But our lives, we're going to live as long as God lives. You say, well, no. Don't take that lightly. And don't take lightly verse number 6 in chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God? Do you have time for God? Now note, without faith, you can't please me. If you don't have time for my business, you can't please me. You got time for God? You have time to worship God on a regular basis? Is it too much of your time to worship God twice on Lord's Day? When that is the times that we here at this congregation have established for God's people to come together in fellowship and worship him? Is it too much? Are you too busy for night church? Are you too busy for Bible class? Are you too busy to be bothered with God? God, you work on my terms. You take what I'm willing to give you. Never mind what you want. I make my decision for my life. Please. Go back to verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And these characters that we read about in chapter 11, they went to great lengths, even to the loss of their life and the loss of their loved ones, to please God. I was concerned because I've read this verse betimes, time and time again. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How do I please Him? Why I gotta have all that much faith to please Him? Why is that so necessary? God does not take second place in the lives of humans that He created, on His universe that He created. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His business and His righteousness. And the other things in life that you need, I'll see to it that you have them. Don't make that mistake of being too busy for God. Don't you wonder about verse 6? Without faith, why do I have to have faith to please God? That was my curiosity. That was why I went wandering around in this book called the Bible. Well, my schedule don't allow me to do that. Well, does your schedule allow you to get sick? Does your schedule permit you to die? Can you tell your schedule when you want to die? Or when you're going to die? Can you tell your schedule, take my place with God because I didn't put Him first? God put us first. And He expects the same thing from us. Those of you in this audience who are pace setters, and we have a, pardon my colloquial expression, we have a heap of pace setters. Thank God for you. Determined, dedicated. I'm going to make heaven my eternal home of abode. When you leave here, where are you going? If you don't do God's will, He says, where I am, you cannot. You can't come to me. If you don't do my will, you can't come to me. You're so busy doing your stuff, your own routine. Well, you just keep doing that. If you're too busy for me, I took the time to leave my home in glory and come down to the world to give you an opportunity to come up to my home. But now you don't have to take it. You don't have to take it. My Father has another place also. In case you don't want to go where I live, you don't have to come where I live. My Father has another place for folk who don't want to live with us. What's your joy? What's your desire? People die every day. And they ain't sick. Pardon my colloquialism of ain't. But because of some accident, some heart attack, boom, just like that, they're gone. You don't know when you're going. Get ready. Get ready to go. Whenever. Today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Your Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil was cast down. It says, war to the earth because he is cast down. Satan tries to fool you that you're all right, knowing that you know you're not obeying God. You want to be saved? You want to be a child of God? You read out of all of chapter 11. and then flow it, and then flow into chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. I didn't do that this morning. I didn't do all of chapter 11, and I didn't flow into chapter 12. But now, if you want to stay a while, I'll do that. It's serious business. Know what you're doing when it comes to your soul salvation. Know what you're doing. Don't just look for a church by how they sing and how many people are there. Look in here. Get a description of the Lord's church and then look for that. Based upon the description that you read about in the Bible. Why do you think? You think God had his book written for naught? All the people that died that it might happen? For naught? The bride of Christ. Jesus left the church, which is his wife, to anybody to name it? To somebody else to treat? How are you going to treat his wife? How we worship is how we treat his wife. Please study your Bible. If it's not in here, don't do it. If it's in here, do it. Peter preached the first gospel sermon as I close. And you can wake up your neighbor. Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. First time on planet Earth that the gospel was preached in Jerusalem, 9 o'clock in the morning. As Peter was preaching, at one point he was interrupted in his message because of what he had said. And many of the people in the audience was affected by that last statement. They had been helpers of those who crucified Christ 50 days ago. And Peter said, that same Jesus that you all crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. The very next verse says that when they heard this, they were shocked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We realize that we have done wrong. We killed the Savior. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And God will send you the Holy Spirit to indwell your life so that you can live the life that He is calling you to live. You want to be a member of that same church? Because that same chapter, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. That's in the same chapter, Acts chapter 2. The people that obeyed the gospel, about 3,000 souls, then they had gladly received the word, were baptized. And the same day that were added unto them were about 3,000 souls. If that's your interest, but maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're too busy. Well, you go ahead with your business. But for those of you who are not too busy, and you're not in the church that they established in Acts chapter 2. By the way, they established the church of Christ. That's in your Bible. That's in your Bible. Acts chapter 20 and Romans chapter 16. Church of Christ. Did you hear me? I said, that's in your Bible. Unless you tore it out. It's in your Bible. Therefore, I'm not teaching you what I wrote. I'm sharing with you what the Holy Spirit dictated to the apostles and the apostles wrote. And the way you enjoy the blessings of being saved by Jesus Christ, very simple. You hear the gospel, which you've heard this morning. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. God is sorrowful for those things I've done in my life that's contrary to the will of God. acknowledge or confess Jesus to be the Son of God as this young lady did this morning, and then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And the Bible says that God adds you to his church. He adopts you, Ephesians chapter 1, as his son or his daughter. I've shared with you what thus saith the word of God. What you do with it, that's between you and God. But if there are those in this audience this morning, you realize that you're not in the church of the Bible. You're not supporting the church that was established when the apostles preached the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Bible. Wisdom says, do what you can read. Please God based upon what you can read, not upon who you know. If you're in the body of Christ, without faith, you can't follow him. I must believe in Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours, and so is the action as we together stand.